So if you would, open up to your Old Testament reading. It can be found on the back of your worship bulletin. From 1 Kings chapter 19. This is one of those situations where, as a pastor, you like to preach about this because the whole entire story is amazing. It's one that, wow, I wonder what I would do if I was in those situations. And so 1 Kings chapter 19, we're talking about three main people, the first one being Ahab and Elijah. Ahab and Elijah. And if you remember, Ahab and Elijah didn't like each other very much. Ahab, it is said that he was the worst king of all of Israel. Worst. Worst of the worst. He did what he wanted to. He didn't care who thought anything more about it. He basically tried to turn the entire country of Israel against God. He tried that. And so that's hard for us to imagine as people nowadays, but this king was ruthless. And one of the problems is he married someone who wasn't from Israel. She didn't know anything about God, and what she did is she turned her husband away from the living God. And so it got so bad that Elijah said, okay, fine. You have your God, I have my God. Only one of them can be correct. Only one of them can drew. So let's meet on a certain mountain. On the certain mountain, we're going to call out to God, and whosoever God shows up, that's the living God. And so as we remember somewhat from our Sunday school, Elijah was standing before his altar. The priest of Baal couldn't get it lit. Elijah calls out one time to God, and God sends fire from heaven, and it consumes the entire altar, even the water on the side of the altar. And so if you remember, God shows up in this story in a huge way, huge. And so can you imagine, even in this picture, this picture of Elijah standing before the altar, seeing for himself fire coming down from heaven, engulfing everything. All he did was pray once, and God answered his prayer. And so we go from there to our Old Testament reading, knowing what has happened, knowing that God showed up, knowing that God shows his power to Elijah over all of the Baal worshipers, and we see that we have another person into our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings 19. Let's read verse 2 together, please. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. She is telling Elijah that if I don't kill you by tomorrow, may evil things happen to me. Okay, so let's not lose the scope of this. Elijah versus hundreds of priests of Baal, and God shows up in a mighty way, showing Elijah that he has power over everything else, and all it takes is one person to say something negative, and look what happens. Look what happens. Unbelievable that this person of God, one small word, he loses hope. He loses his focus. One threat by this queen. All of a sudden, this man of God who has had front row seats to what God has done in his life, and he turns and runs from this person. One sentence will make him run. So very interesting enough is God can show up in mighty ways, and all it takes is one person to enter the room. All it takes is one person. If you have that great and mighty thing inside your head, you're saying, wow, God, thank you for giving this to me. And one person says, that'll never work. All it takes is one person says, You don't have the skills to do that. I'll just give up now. All it takes is one situation in which you can go into a room and all of your hope for the future can be zapped. That's it. No more. That's what it was for Elijah. Elijah turned and ran at the high point, at the high point of God being in the work of Israel, even in the midst of God saying, okay, I'm going to send rain in the midst of a famine. And Elijah still turns and runs. And so, question, what or how much does it take for you to lose heart? How much or what does it take for you to lose heart? If you have something and you say, you know what, I'm going to show up in somebody else's life, and this is what I'm planning to do, and all your plans can be deterred by one thing. And most of you can say, you know what, I can name that one person in my life, that one thing, that one place where all I have to do is go there. And all the ideas in my head just are wiped away. You can probably think of that. It can be even in this place here where we come and say, you know what, God, I'm hoping that you're going to be closer to me. You can say, you know what, I come in here and I don't feel his presence. But the question really is what has God done in our lives that happens consistently over and over and over again? Has God shown up in mighty ways and we say, okay, God, one more time, I really needed to show up once again. And so very interesting is this, you know, where is God? Where is God? And this question is twofold. Number one, we as humans like to say, okay, where is God in certain situations? When things are going bad, when I can't figure out which way I should think about situations, when I can't focus on God's word, where is God? Problem is, the question is upside down. Where are we looking at God? Because when we say, where is God, the real answer, even in Elijah's time, is God's reigning on his throne. There, when we take a look and we reverse it 180 degrees, not where is God in our lives, but where is God reigning? Where is God in control? Where is God when he says that he holds the entire universe in his hands? Now, when we say, where is God, then we say, okay, God is where he should be. Where am I? Where am I in this story? Maybe I should quit asking, where is God? Because God has always been where he is. He is always giving me hope by allowing me to see all his creation, that it works in perfect alignment. And to say, if God can do that to the sun, the moon, the stars, why would I even doubt what God can do in my life? And so where is God? God is where he should be, letting us know that there's nothing in our lives that he can't handle. And very interesting, look at this is from Matthew chapter 17, verse 3. Let's read this together. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. This is Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. Everyone remember where this happened? Everyone remember? What's this called? The Transfiguration. Jesus knows that he's in the last few weeks and days of his life. He knows that once he comes down off this mountain, he's going into Jerusalem. He knows that the cross is at the end of this journey. And here he is talking with Moses and Elijah, and it is said that Moses and Elijah are just heaping words of encouragement on Jesus. You got to keep going. Don't lose hope. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. Son of God, receiving encouragement from Moses. Why in the world would you be talking to Moses and Elijah? Moses didn't have enough faith in order to go into the promised land. Elijah, like we just talked about, he ran. He lost hope. So why would God do this? Why would God show us this? Is that, look at the cornerstone of who these two guys are. The two greatest prophets from the Old Testament. And yet God highly values them. Because how they finished the race. How they finished the race was that they kept their eyes focused on what God said. And the same is for us today. Is that when we come in here and we don't feel like things are going well. We don't feel like God is close to us. The problem is not necessarily where is God. It's there he is. Here am I. And God wants to do his work in our lives. God wants to do work in everyone's life. And that's why we say, okay, when we get into situations in which we feel like, God, I can't push through this. Where is God? God, I don't want to go back to work. You don't understand what it is to deal with this coworker. Where is God? When we think about difficult situations in which we wonder about family members, or we wonder about a loss of a coworker, someone I dearly loved. Where is God? He's on that cross, yelling out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Speaking out love to us, even though we are the ones nailing him to the cross. Where is God? He is loving us, even in the midst of us not loving him. Where is God? Right where we need him, each and every day. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given to us. Lord God, in the midst of things that happened, Lord God, it is so easy to lose hope. It is so easy to look at what you have for us, the plans, the things in our future, and Lord God, to lose hope and think, okay, that's never going to work. It's so easy for us to allow others to discourage us. Lord God, help us see that even you were discouraged here on earth. Lord God, you didn't lose hope, but Lord God, you understood that your life would be full of pain on that last day, that you would be handed over by a friend, crucified with your people shouting to end your life. But in the midst of that, you were saying, Father, forgive them. You were looking for us and what we needed. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for this. And Lord God, be with us each and every day, Lord. Lord God, the road doesn't always get easier. But Lord God, help us see that you are God in the midst of everything that we go through. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.